Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
Kurt Gebhartz is the senior pastor of the Grove Bible Chapel in Tampa Bay, specifically in Valrico, and he is one of the speakers for the Unashamed Men's Conference, April 20th in Tampa Bay. You might be listening right now, and you're like, oh, it's not April 20th. Well, we were talking a lot about issues that Christian men need to be grappling with and thinking about. So we thought, you know what, why don't we make him this episode of the Kurt and Kate Mornings podcast.
That's right. And women, if you know a man, this is important for you to listen to as well.
Yeah. Here's the bonus. If you like the Puritans, you're really going to love this conversation with Kurt. It's Kurt squared when it comes to the Puritans because we both are crazy about the Puritans. Kate is tolerating us, basically, in this conversation. Let's dive in right here. Hey, Kurt, how you doing today?
Well, good morning, Kurt and Kate. In the morning, we're so grateful to be here.
Kurt loves the Puritans just like I do. So it's Kurt and Kate in the morning right now. And all right, so Kate, we need to talk about this before we get into the Unashamed Men's Conference. Kurt's going to be speaking there. We have the details and stuff. But, Kurt, I'm trying to, it's been five plus years now, trying to get Kate to read some of the Puritans. She finally bought a copy of John Flavel's The Mystery of Providence.
Okay.
But she didn't get the Banner of Truth Puritan paperback edition. And, Kate, you ordered this thing, and the print is tiny.
So tiny, even a magnifying. I could not read it. Literally could not read it.
Painful.
It is.
So I think she ought to order the better edition of this. But, Kate, I haven't convinced you to do that. I mean, you took that step.
I'll get around to it. There's so many good books.
But you should have asked me which edition is correct. The most reader-friendly.
You know, what's inside the book? Isn't that what I'm buying? What's written, I didn't realize I couldn't see it.
But Kate, I believe that you have an aesthetic touch to your life, and Banner of Truth is a fantastic publisher that publishes well. They publish quality, it's good in the hand, it's good print, and so that'll serve you as well.
Banner of Truth. Now I'll go looking
you.
There.
See, Kurt, I told her a million times Banner of Truth, and she ignored
right.
me. Now that you've told her, she's going to do
now
it.
Now I'll listen. Just like a teenager. Yeah, Mom. Okay, do you know what they told me? Banner of Truth. Okay.
You're so defiant, Kate. That's just, as long as you read the Puritans, it's a win. That's the way,
I
look at it.
Well, here's the summary. Kate needs two Kurts in her life, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. To reinforce what the first Kurt said.
Apparently.
Kurt, you need to be with us every morning now. All right, so that's the deal. All right, Unashamed, let's talk about it. This men's conference, of course, is being put on by Christian Men United. Carl Schack Jr., our good friend Carl Schack, was with us earlier this week talking about this, and it's the theme is based on 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 12. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. What are you going to be talking about at the event?
Well, I have the privilege of participating again, and we're so thankful for Carl and his faith and this ministry, CMU. Having H.B. Charles come as well and Shai Lin is going to be a fantastic day of ministry. I have the privilege of talking about a serious and certain faith. I think when we consider what it means to be unashamed, we have to think biblically about what it means to be a Christian. And so we have to turn our attention to scriptures that really wake us up. I think Philippians 2 is one of those passages where Paul writes in verse 15, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. And so a serious and a certain faith is necessary to be unashamed for Christ today.
Where do you think we are in, and I asked Carl the same question, but I want to get your take on this. When it comes to men in the church, for decades it seemed like, okay, well, you remember that book that came out that was very popular, Why Men Hate Going to Church? Do you remember that one?
Only vaguely. Was that a Puritan?
No, it wasn't. No. So I didn't read the whole thing. I just read the synopsis of it. If it was a Puritan author, I would have read the whole thing. The Puritans. Anyway, but this is the deal. It's David Morrow, I think, is the guy who wrote this thing. But he was making an argument that, well, he was pushing back against what he called the feminization of the church. The way we do church is very feminine. It turns off guys, and they don't want to go. Now, this was, again, this was like well over a decade ago. And so there's this, okay, well, we have that. Then you have the stereotypical passive Christian man. You have that issue as well, but he kind of went to an extreme. In my opinion, he's like, okay, guys, you need to go out and buy a big pickup and you need to shoot some guns and be a real man, which is obviously an extreme situation. Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, wait a minute, let's take a look at Jesus to see what a real man is supposed to be. So this crisis of manhood in the church has been discussed for many years. Where do you think we are today? Some thoughts.
Well, it's fascinating to me that that author identified a problem in our culture, but misidentified the application or the solution. It is true, and I want to thank the Lord for the godly women that are listening to this program who seek God, pray, serve God. I can attribute my spiritual heritage to two godly grandmothers, and I praise God for the godly women. But you know what we should also be focused on is training godly men. The welfare of the church rises and falls on the strength of her men. And so for us to develop men of God and to have biblical applications for the need at hand is absolutely essential. And that requires us returning to a certainty of faith. J.I. Packer, he wrote this, "Certainty about the great issues of the Christian faith and conduct is lacking all along the line in Christianity today. The outside observer sees us staggering on from a gimmick to gimmick, stunt to stunt, like so many drunks in a fog, not knowing where we are or where we're going. Preaching is hazy, heads are muddled, hearts fret, doubts drain strength, uncertainty paralyzes action. We lack certainty." So for us to return to biblical certainty, not some fictional American view of masculinity, is essential, and that requires us returning to seriousness.
You know what? You used a word I want to follow up on, and that has to do with gimmicks and gimmickry and all of that. That's a problem in the church today. And I always say this, I'll get off my soapbox in a moment, but I understand wanting to connect with the culture. I totally get that. We have to speak in a language they can understand. But it's almost as if we've gone so far that we turn it into a circus, and that's really not to attract people, but that's not really what they need, and I don't believe that's really what they want, men and women included on this.
You're exactly right, Kurt. So what people need is a grand vision of God in a filled out vision of the gospel. And so we need to return to the scriptures in that regard. I think people that tend to apply gimmicks and stunts like J.I. Packer was referring to, they do so out of a good motivation to connect with people. But when you sell the point of our connection to God, His holiness, greatness, and glory, then you have nothing to connect them to. And so Christians are priests. All believers are priests to their God. The Latin word for priest is pontifex, and a pontifex is a bridge. So ultimately, Kurt, one of our functions and identities in Christ is to be a bridge builder between those who need God and God Himself. So we need to hang on to God, His holiness, His greatness, and the seriousness of a certain faith so that we can then effectively connect people to God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Good stuff. All right, so that's Kurt Gebhartz. He's hanging out with us here for a few more minutes, and we're talking about a lot of stuff, really. When we come into these conversations, the last thing we want to do is to have an agenda, right? Yeah, we want you to know about the Unashamed Conference, but every day when we go on the air, guys, this is just a conversation among believers. We don't ever want it to be scripted. Oh, it's never scripted, is it, Kate? It's never pre-planned, really.
No, hard as I try, it never works out that way.
Yeah, except the Glen Campbell thing. maybe kind of, sort of. The details on this, guys, maybe you don't have any plans tomorrow. And even if our listening area is pretty large, it's even worth a road trip to attend this event. It's called Unashamed. It's happening at Kurt's Church, the Grove Bible Chapel in Tampa, specifically in Valrico. We have made this textable. If you'd like to check it out, I believe, Kate, double-check me on this. I believe it's Unashamed is our keyword.
I think that's right.
Yeah, it's Unashamed. Unashamed. The title of the event, Unashamed, put on again by Christian Men United. Just text the word Unashamed to the Kurt and Kate hotline, 888-777-6810, and we'll send you out a link, and you'll get all the details. Guys, come on. We need to get together. We need to be unified. But we want to be unified around the right thing, not just hanging out and talking about this, that, and whatever. I mean, that's cool. You know, I enjoy a good conversation that way. There's nothing that lights my fire quite like connecting with another guy who loves Jesus and wants to be a godly man. We need each other. Wait a minute. That's biblical, right? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's not optional.
Thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. We always welcome a review with your thoughts and comments, and please feel free to subscribe and follow us as well.
The word unashamed, Kurt. I think about the Apostle Paul saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And you know what else I think about? And I brought this up with Carl when he was with us a couple days ago, too. In Matthew chapter 10... There are some verses here that mean a lot to me, because when I was 11, I was kind of at that point. My mom had been praying for me about receiving Jesus, and she the Puritans had to be involved, right? We were reading through Pilgrim's Progress together. And so maybe that's why I love the Puritans so much, Kate. Maybe that's what it is, because I can tie back to my salvation moment.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, John Bunyan. So anyway, the Pilgrim's Progress, and kind of preparing the soil of my heart, so to speak. And then I was in church. She stayed home that week. I remember it just like it was yesterday. The pastor preached on Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, where Jesus says this: "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." And I will never forget that moment. I don't remember anything else about the sermon other than that was the text. And the Lord literally, I know some people kind of freak out about the supernatural stuff, especially those of us who tend to be Reformed, who come from that point of view. But I felt what I can only describe as an invisible hand as I was standing in the pew when they gave the opportunity to walk forward and receive Christ. I felt like a hand pushed me out into the aisle because I was so hesitant. I was afraid of going up front. I will never, ever forget that. And so when I'm thinking about this idea of we need to be unashamed of our relationship with Jesus, I can trace that back to Matthew 10. We need to confess Jesus before everybody, don't we?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Kurt, because we have the privilege of knowing what people don't know. I didn't grow up around the church. I did not grow up in a Christian home that attended church. I was foreign to the gospel, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in it, and I paid for it in my life. It was darkened. It was broken. I was troubled. And yet God, by his grace, promoted faith in my heart like he did in your heart on that morning in that pew, such that I would repent and believe. And that awakening by his grace, he made us alive, Colossians 2. And so because we've been made alive, we have a new identity as priests and as those who are ambassadors and emissaries. It is our highest calling and privilege and honor to represent Christ by being his witness. Acts 1 talks about how the Holy Spirit, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're immersed in his Spirit so that we can become a witness of what God has done in our life to a needy world. And we need to be unashamed.
Yeah. I think a lot of times we talk ourselves out of opportunities to share the gospel with others. And I know, and I'm not pointing a finger if you're like, oh man, I feel guilty. Do not pack your bags. Do not go on a guilt trip, because we all have been there where we feel like the Lord is leading us to share with somebody, but we just, we talk ourselves out of it, or we just let it go. And that's happened to me so many times, but I'm getting better, Kurt. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting better at saying, what do I have to lose? Is it ever wrong to winsomely share the gospel with somebody else. Not trying to, memorize, oh, I got to get everything just right, but just having a
Correct.
Natural conversation with somebody. We need to be ready and prepared in season, out of season, whatever. We just need to, have that boldness, that kind boldness.
That's beautiful. It's such a powerful way to say it, Kurt, because we are those that are put on the front line by God to as soldiers to be sent out by him. You know, Psalm 71:16 says, I will make mention of your righteousness. To the point that you just made, it's not always a full recitation of the gospel in the checkout stand. But when somebody asks you about your day, I think you want to open the door by invoking God. Like, hasn't God given us a beautiful day today? Or, I'm so thankful to God for what he's done in my life. You can respond with a front-facing mention of God and his glory and his kindness. And that may be a small seed that would turn into a more significant conversation, or maybe just something that God uses in their life. The truth is, Kurt, the vast majority of our area here in Central Florida is walking around without any knowledge of his glory or honor. And we're there to highlight the glory and greatness of God, even in a mention sometimes. And hopefully it turns into something more significant, and we're always ready for that too.
Do you feel this conversation, Kate? This is two guys. You know, Kate, you're hanging out with us too, but you see how the guys talking back and forth, we get each other pumped up in the best possible
yes.
way?
Yes.
This is what we need.
It is, and every Christian woman I know feels the same way. This is what you need. I remember,
yes.
yeah, when the olden days when there was Promise Keepers, I remember Larnell Harris saying, yeah, my wife said, what was that place you went? And he said, Promise Keepers. She said, yeah, you need to go back.
Yeah, you need to go back there. That's funny. You know, when we talk about these things, though, and we are iron sharpening iron, it's, you know, the problem yes. with many guys, Kurt, let's just lay it out here. There's many things we could talk about, but what about this? The fact that we tend to isolate ourselves, we don't have very many close Christian friends because we're not opening ourselves up.
Yeah, there's a conspiracy against the Lord in this way. In our culture, we have social media, which, number one, it multiplies our troubles because now, instantly, we can see all of the challenges the world is facing, and so it amplifies the difficulties of life, borrowing it from the world. Secondly, the more that we're connected to social media is the more that we're isolated, the more that we're by ourselves. And God has intended for a community like you're talking about to be a grace gift in our lives of engagement, conversation, stirring one another up, sharpening one another, so that God's word at the center and Christ in the middle of it is the one that is promoted as we challenge each other about the things of God. And so we need this fellowship if we hope to be unashamed for God.
What do you say to the guy who's like, you know what, I've tried this thing and it hasn't really worked, or I've been a part of a small group of men and I got burned, and church hurt is very real,
yes.
and it can keep us away from the church in that way, and we, you know, we're just like, I don't want to go there again, I don't want to feel like that again. How do we walk through this, and how can we take the risk and maybe open ourselves up again?
Yeah, that is difficult, and there are a number of people that have faced that church hurt, which is painful. But in all endeavors of significance, we recognize the value in trying again when it doesn't work out. Think about our investment portfolio. Think about our physical fitness. Think about even relationships that can be difficult at times. The last thing we should do is quit on a good thing. Let's take up the scriptures. Let's take up the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's take up his ways. And let's say it didn't work last time. And maybe I can learn something from that. Or maybe somebody did wrong by me. But we're going to actually, because we see it's in the truth of God's word, we're going to actually apply ourselves. See, Jesus Christ died for the church. We should live for her. We should live for the gospel. We should live in boldness for Christ because of what he's done for us and how he's changed us from the inside out. And so it gives us an opportunity to reorient our life around what is true and say, you know what, Lord, give me the courage and strength to try it again, even though it didn't work last time.
When we take a look at some of the challenges facing men today, and I know there are women who also are addicted to pornography, but predominantly it still is, for the most part, men. And we look at all of this, do you think sometimes we approach things from a standpoint of, okay, we have to attack the behavior, and we need to change the behavior, change the habit, all of these types of things, and then we don't really focus as we should upon changing the heart, which is really the issue here, isn't it?
So, Kurt, that's such a great insight, and this is where the Puritans have served you well. The Puritans understand that a man is a complex of head, heart, and hands. It's what we think, and it all begins and is initiated with our thinking, so we need truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, Jesus' prayer in John 17:17. But it moves into the center of our choosing and thinking, which is now the heart, and then moves itself out in the hands. Too often, like you're suggesting, it's these platitudes or these change of behavior attempts that don't ultimately change the worship center that disable people from actually gaining progress in these sticky dynamics like pornography, for example. So what is needed is a motivation and a desire change, which is worship to Christ and a love for his holiness instead of allowance for the sins and corruption of this world.
Amen. All right. Well, I have to let Kurt go here, but I'm enjoying the conversation so much I don't want to do that. That's the only problem I have.
He knows where you live.
Yeah, you're over in Valrico and Brandon area. I'm going to find you. I'll stalk you. There you go. I'm a pastor stalker. That's what I am. Do you have any Puritan quotes you had ready for us that you didn't include yet?
Well, you know, I did, in fact, and just to honor my friend. So Isaac Ambrose is a man who wrote 400 years ago, and he talks about the seriousness of our faith with these words in the book, The Christian Warrior. He says, in the Christian life, there is a necessity for war. Either you must wrestle with the enemy or be taken captive by him. And yet, the sweetness of victory will abundantly repay the trouble for wrestling. There is war only for a time. The victory is for eternity. Mm. What a beautiful promise about the glory of Christ, him winning the war, but it's ours to fight and wrestle and vie for a serious and certain faith, unashamed, tomorrow.
I love that. All right, Kate, remember the larger print edition of The Mystery of Providence, John Flavel. Banner of Truth, okay?
All right.
Kurt told you you could do that, even though I told you a million times before.
But I'll listen to him.
But you listen to Kurt.
Thank you, Kate. Glad to speak with you, too.
You, too.
Thanks, Kurt, for being with us. Blessings to you, my friend.
Blessings likewise. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.